I'm joined here by somebody I met 5 minutes ago. Arrived early for her interview. It's Kelly Jack. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. And your title is?
I'm a peer coach 3 with Department of Health and Human Services over at the mental health branch.
We'll get to the peer coach thing in a sec.
Okay.
It's kind of interesting, but it is Mental Health Awareness Month?
Absolutely. It is Mental Health Month. And mental health matters.
And the County of Humboldt, Department of Health and Human Services, that's the biggest county agency, isn't it?
I'm not aware of what the biggest county agencies are. It oversees agencies within the county.
Okay. But yeah, there's a whole, I've got this isn't even like a legal, this is not like an 11-inch piece of paper. It's an extra long piece of paper that has
legal
all
say.
all the things that they are doing, and we will get there first. So you're a peer coach.
I am.
What does that mean?
It means that the department, when I was first hired, I was hired as a mental health aide, and they saw it to be important for people with lived experience to come into the department to help people who were struggling with mental health issues, to have somebody help guide them, share their own experience, and work with them. And so we were hired first. Our title was mental health aide. And just recently, we were able to have our title changed to peer coaches and have a tier to follow as 1s, 2s, and 3s. And I am currently a 3, so I oversee the peer coaches and also oversee our local Hope Center, which is a drop-in center for people who are struggling. It's a safe place for them to go. Anybody who is dealing with mental health issues, whether it's the person, friend, or family member.
So basically you are now coaching coaches.
You could say that. Yeah.
Okay. So the reason that you were into this, you off air, you said that you have mental illness.
I do.
Okay.
I do.
So let's just start with the wording of that. It's not had past tense. It's
no,
have.
I still have it and I still struggle with it. I use several different wellness tools to help me day to day. I have plans in my life to help me to live a better life today. And I share those with people who, that is part of what I do as my job, is to share those kinds of things with people. And in my own experience, I like to focus more on the symptoms that I still deal with and have dealt with versus what my diagnosis is, so that people can relate more.
Okay. So you're saying we don't want to talk about your diagnosis. Is that not relevant to it?
It can be relevant, but it can also isolate others who may not have the same diagnosis.
Oh, okay. So how long did you, if we can make a comparison to a car whose alignment is off?
Okay.
How long before you took the car into the shop? When did you notice that your behavior is different than those of your friends and family?
Since I was a young kid, I knew that there was something wrong when I was very young.
Elementary
school. And then I noticed there was something strongly wrong in high school. And then I was told there was something wrong when I was 23. But it took me until I was 35 before I actually sought help. Before I actually accepted the help.
So we're talking 30 years of suffering.
Yes, yeah.
When you were a little kid, what did it feel like? Every little kid goes, oh, I'm different. I'm different in these ways. And then every parent says, you'll grow out of that.
Right, yeah. Ostracized. I felt different from my peers. I there was things I didn't understand. It was more than just the imaginary friend. There was just things I couldn't explain to people, you know, and you end up in the special classes. So, yeah, there was just things I couldn't quite understand or even explain to people. And that happened all throughout my years.
So does this continue in the same form? Like when you're a little kid, you know, you're in elementary school and the teachers, they have special methods for that. But by the time you get to high school, like you could be raising hell.
Yeah. And what I did in high school was jumped from group to group so that they never really could figure out what was wrong with me. So I, you know, never had best friends and I would just jump from different categories of people that hang out in high school. And I would just bounce from those different categories and transform myself to fit in. And yeah.
Where are you from, by the way?
I am from by the Sacramento area and I moved up here.
Okay. That sounds
Hard?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was hard. It was hard to, it's survival. You go into a survival mode. And it is hard.
And mental illness is one of the, it's like income, like just nobody talks about it.
Right.
You don't go right there.
And that's why my passion is May's Mental Health Month. My passion is bringing awareness for mental illness, because if we're not talking about it, we're not going to ever break the stigma of it. So I want to stomp out stigma. I want to talk about it so that it's very common. So we are just talking about it like we talk about diabetes. We talk about cancer. I mean, they're hard subjects, but we talk about them. So I want to begin to talk about mental illness like any other subject we would talk about, so that people who are suffering and are in the shadows will come out, because it's very hard to come out of those shadows because it is so secretive.
Well, I think we're off to a good start, Kelly Jack.
Yeah, I do really too. Do. Here we are.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of these things where it's okay to make fun of somebody with depression, but it's not okay to make fun of somebody with cancer.
Right, exactly, right.
Well, it's Mental Health Month, and Mental Health Matters Month, 2015, has got a ton of stuff going on, and
yes,
there's just no way that we can cover all of this.
Absolutely not.
But let's start by saying, who are you trying to talk to right now?
I'm trying to talk to all of Humboldt. My dream is that at some point all of Humboldt will in some way be involved. We started this year reaching out to outlying areas who don't always get people there to do an event in those places. This year, we'll be doing something in Willow Creek, and we'll do another area next year. So that's something new this year. Everything's usually been done in Eureka, but this year we're doing Zumba in the plaza in Arcata. At 11:30, we're going to assemble, and then we'll start Zumba at noon, and it'll be finished around 1:30. So it's not a very long time. You don't have to know Zumba. You just have to follow the instructor, and then it'll be over. But we want to try to get people there to just say, hey, what's going on, and just show people awareness.
What's the intersection between mental health and exercise?
When I talked about plans earlier, that I have plans in place, well, we have a thing called WRAP, which is Wellness Recovery Action Plan. And we have a few facilitators in this area, and we do that workshop at the Hope Center. And that is the one thing that's helped me in my process. And in that, there's things called wellness tools. And they're tools that help you to feel better. And exercise, or Zumba in our case, is a wellness tool. It's a way that you can feel better about yourself.
So you could prescribe Zumba to somebody with mental troubles.
Right. So yeah, it's a way to feel better. So we've incorporated Zumba as a wellness tool and healthy eating. We're just trying to promote better stuff for people.
Department of Health and Human Services. Yeah. Better stuff
for better people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kelly Jack is here, and that's where she's from. We're talking about Mental Health Matters Month, and this Zumba event is going to be a real great lunch break for folks in Arcata, 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. This is at the end of the month, right before the Kinetic Sculpture Race, I believe, right?
Yeah,
this is on
the
Wednesday right before it starts, 11:30 to 1:30. I want to go back to just your experience, because I don't think I've ever talked to somebody who is so open about having mental illness. When you throw that on the table in conversation, as you just did, how do people treat you when you put that out there?
Sometimes they welcome it. Sometimes the conversation gets very quiet. Most of the time they respond well, because I have a lot of energy. I'm encouraging and I'm passionate about it. So they'll listen. And this year I've gotten a lot of people to listen. This year's May's Mental Health Month has been very exciting to be a part of. And so it varies. It varies with different crowds.
When you were at the trough, right, of your mental illness, were you functional as a person?
It depends on what your idea of functional is. If homelessness is functional, then no. If not paying your bills is functional, then no. There was a lot of things that I thought I was functional, but to other people, that's not functional. But in my world, that was functional to me.
What did people tell you? Like, why do you keep making these bad decisions, or what comes your way?
I had people that were supportive of what I was doing, and I had like family and other people and county workers or, other people wanting to help me, but I wasn't ready to accept that help. it had to be something in me that was ready to accept the help. And they were more than willing when I was ready to be there.
Humboldt County, homeless problem in the news a lot. Mm-hmm. And you hear this, they have to be accepting the help for it to work. Mm-hmm. You hear that phrase a lot. What made you accept the help?
Engagement. Their engagement with me, even when I pushed away, was huge. It was huge. There were some people that worked with the county and some other outside people. There was a church and a few other things that helped me to just push through and do it.
So you're like, leave me alone. They're like, no, we want to help you. You're like, no, seriously, leave me alone. And they're like, no, we still want to help you. How do they know when you actually want help? Like, because they're dishonoring what you're telling them. Mm-hmm. You're saying no, and they're saying yes. And you're like, no means no.
It's not that I didn't really say no. I just wouldn't show up for appointments. I would, there was things I would do, but you just keep helping. Just keep helping. Keep reaching out your hand is what I do today is I just keep kindness and just keep reaching out my hand.
For people listening who, you know, we all read the comment sections. We all mm-hmm. see people point the finger at people who are clearly mentally struggling in one way or another, be it through addiction or be it addiction to help with mental illness. Like, what is one thing that we can all do to chip away at that stigma?
Be open to learning. Be open to being educated. We have a group called Seeds of Understanding that you can, if you call DHHS and ask, you know, for them to come out and speak with you. We have a panel that will come and talk with you. I think really talking to the people who are experiencing these issues can give you a broader idea of what's happening, and you can be more educated. Become involved. Come to these events that are happening this month and look at people who are in recovery, who are dealing with their struggles. And sometimes when you've seen people over and over again who are in the midst of their struggles, it's hard to change your mind, to change your attitude. But then if you go to some of these events and you see people who have come through some struggles, your mind changes a little bit.
When you see these, again, I just keep thinking of all these comments that I see in the comment sections that are, let's just say that they're pretty didactic and, you know, it becomes an issue of free will. These people are making bad choices. Right. They're opting to not go get help.
Right.
What would you say to a person who's actually believing that?
I would say to them what I just said. I would say be a part of Seeds of Understanding. We have this week, in fact, on the 7th, there's going to be a movie called New State of Mind being shown with a panel at St. Vinny's, the dining hall, from 2 to 4. And I would say come to that. Come to that and listen to a panel of speakers who have been through those same struggles. They were homeless, and now they're on the other side. I mean, they still have struggles, but they're on the other side. They're using tools to help them today. Listen to what that was for them.
Yeah, it really does seem like it's another one of those scenarios where the loudest members of a group do not represent the group as a whole, where you've got, you know, untold numbers of people who have come through the darkness and sort of emerged on the other side as functional with assistance.
Right.
But you never hear about people like you.
Right. Yeah, not too much. We're making our way through. We're getting out there.
What are the numbers locally? I mean, Humboldt County, what's the state of our mental health?
I don't have that answer for you. I can tell you what I see every day, and I see awesomeness. I see things happening, people growing in great strides that I get to see. But as far as numbers, I'm not a part of that, so I can't really answer that for you.
And do you, as a peer coach, have people who struggle with addiction alongside?
Yeah, co-occurring.
Co-occurring. Thank you. How common is that?
It's pretty common. It's pretty common everywhere now. So, I mean, that just happens. It's for me, from my experience, it was self-medicating. And so it happens.
The number I keep seeing is something like 60% of homeless people have mental health issues. Do you deal with the homeless community a lot?
We have some that come into the Hope Center, yeah.
And they're coming in looking for help?
A safe place to be. That's what we offer there, safe place. And we point them to resources, yeah.
What are the resources you point them to?
It varies.
Well, give me a few.
We have a new team called the MIST team. So we might point them to the MIST team. We might give them housing lists of resources. The biggest resource that we give them is someone to talk to. Someone that's been there and has that lived experience, and they get to talk with them and know that somebody cares.
Did you have that?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Are you still in touch with that person?
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. You see him around town. Hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you owe them?
What do you mean, what do I owe them?
You know, if somebody helps, like if somebody has the right set of academic tools and the wisdom to read social cues of somebody who's clearly struggling in their own mind, like I would feel indebted to that person in a profound way. No?
No.
Really?
No, there's no. Wow. It's a peer-to-peer kind of thing. It's just what we do.
We're talking with Kelly Jack. She's here from the Department of Health and Human Services for the Department of Humboldt. May is Mental Health Matters Month. So, yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. It's already underway. There was an Arts Alive art show and reception over the weekend. There's a thing coming up tomorrow, Cinco de Mayo, and it's called Let's Talk About Children's Mental Health. What's that?
That is a TED Talk. This week kicks off with children's. It's the Children's Week. It's focused on the children. We're on our committee, we have them come, and this is what they're going to be doing. So it's tomorrow night, and they're going to have a TED Talk for people who are interested in coming. And the proclamation will also be read tomorrow morning at the Board of Supervisors.
So this will be on Myrtle at the Office of Education Annex. That's like Beret Center, that area down there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that is tomorrow. You can talk about children's mental health, 6 to 7:30 p.m. And there's just a whole list of events. Are these all posted at the DHHS website?
Absolutely.
All right.
Yes.
So we talked about Zumba on the Plaza. This is Wednesday. And then the Tuesday before that, Tuesday, May 19th, there's a mental health walk.
Absolutely. Mental health walk. And that is something I encourage everyone to come out and walk and just show your awareness, support. We ask that you wear lime green because you'll see around town people wearing lime green ribbons. And that is a California movement. Each Mind Matters. It's to show awareness for mental health. And you don't have to just wear it this month. You can wear it anytime. So I would encourage you to come out May 19th. We're going to meet at 720 Wood Street in the parking lot, and then we'll walk to the courthouse, and there's a rally. We'll also do some Zumba then, but there'll be speakers. We'll have people speaking on a few different topics, and so it's a lunchtime thing too, so people can come out, and we'll have snacks.
Snacks!
We'll have snacks. We'll provide water and some healthy snacks.
We're pretty much out of time. This has been really interesting. Thank you. I guess one thing that I always try to get from people is like a surprising piece of information.
I have some.
Do you?
I do. One thing I want to tell you, I mean, I know you've been doing the commercial, but right now, wherever you are sitting, look around you. And I want to tell you that 1 in 4 people are affected by mental illness. 1 in 4. So if you're sitting wherever you are, look around you and think 1 in 4 of where I'm at right now are going to be affected in their lifetime by mental illness. But good news is that 70 to 90% with treatment and support show reduced symptoms. So there's hope for that 1 in 4.
That's a scary big number.
It is a scary number. And when you think about it, when you're sitting there and you look around in a room and wherever you are, 1 in 4.
Everybody's got a struggle.
Right. Everybody has a struggle.
Yeah.
At some point, they can identify. I mean, if you've lost a boyfriend, you've ate that pint of ice cream. I mean, you can identify with somebody that's struggling.
Okay. Last question.
Okay.
I promise. And this is easily going to be the worst question. Here we go. I feel like if I could have a superpower, it would be the ability to sort of impart like knowledge to somebody and just have them go, oh, okay, I see it that way now.
Right.
Like, you know, it might be, for instance, like I see people idling their cars for 20 minutes. It's like, dude, you're actually hurting your car when you do that. It's not just
the environment.
Yeah, you're hurting the environment too, but you're hurting your car. Right. Like, I just like want to snap my fingers and cast a spell, and suddenly they go, oh, I should just turn my car off after 15 seconds or whatever. The EPA says 12, actually. Like, you're doing it wrong. You don't have enough information to make a good decision here. If you could do that, when mental illness comes up in the news locally, if you could impart one similar thought to everybody that would give them the tools they need to understand these news stories better, or to understand, I saw a photo of a guy making out with a tree in Old Town, you know, to understand that better. Or when you see people living in a bush or people with schizophrenia, like, what is something that you could just cast a spell and have everybody just understand it so that this dialogue can progress?
What I would really like to see is every time there is a bad media thing about mental illness, that it was counteracted with four good things about mental illness. That's what I would like to see, is that there was the counteraction. Many times there's no counteraction to that. All we're stuck with is over and over again the bad media around mental illness.
Hold on. You're saying there's a negativity bias in the news media?
A little bit.
A little bit?
A little bit.
You're saying it doesn't balance the stories
a little bit.
Out?
A little bit. But I am really grateful that today you've asked me to come and share, because today we're actually being able to share the good side. So that's pretty awesome. Thank you for that.
Thank you. More information can be found at the Department of Health and Human Services website. It's the county. Kelly Jack, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.